to C3 Pathers. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message, and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
That was so beautiful, that worship. Just amazing. And just so fitting for today. Just so fitting for what we want to communicate. It's just, life is actually really simple. It comes down to one thing. It's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. But right now, when you look at your life, is it that simple? How would you actually describe it? There's a new baby over there. That's not simple. That's not simple. The other day I described my life as messy. Does anyone else do that sometimes? I'm messy. My afternoon's just messy. Because I was trying to organize a time to meet up with someone, and it's like trying to describe, I'll be in here and out there and in there and out, and it's like, oh, it's just messy, okay? That's just all I can say. You know, when we sift through our lives, we also find it easy, we shift that blame to on what we find often. You know, we can, so I just have to work, I have to do this many hours to cover expenses. I want the kids to be part of this or that, or they have this experience, or, you know, there's so many different opportunities for them, I want them to have. Or there might be pressure, there's pressure from above or pressure from study, I have to get this completed. And so we can come up with so many different ideas in our head about why we're busy, why that's occurred. But who made those decisions? Sorry. Who was it that said yes to the kids, you can do music and sport and another thing and another thing and another thing? Like, who said yes to that? Who is it that said yes to the house, the car, the accessories, everything that goes with it? Who said yes to the study? Okay, maybe not school, you don't get a choice there, but that's all right. Who said yes to that job with that boss? You know, it's me. I make those decisions. I might like to think that they're out of my control, but they're not actually. They're actually my decisions. I'm the one that chooses to do those things, to buy those things, to have those things. It's me that does. I sign the kids up to those things and for those new babies. Think about it. Just think about it, okay? I don't know. Sam, were you ever going to be an Olympic swimmer? Yeah. Swimming was good though. You know, it's just, think about it. It's sometimes, you know, it's me that leaves things too late, that might procrastinate over something and so haven't quite got it finished for the boss, or, you know, haven't learnt to say no to something. What if I could change? What if I could do things differently? What if there was a simpler way, a different way to do life? And as we've been walking through our book, Eliminating Hurry, we come to the discipline of simplicity. And it's not a modern concept. You know, our world thinks this wonderful idea of minimalism is just so modern and fresh. But it's ancient. And ancient, you might think, oh, monks, that's just like sparse and cold. It goes beyond even them. It's not about organizing wardrobes. It's not about uncluttering your house. And so, you know, I don't even want to get caught up in that whole arena of, you know, the things that have caused that complication of life, you know, our desire for stuff. That's all addressed really nicely in the book and multiple other books that you can read if you want to. And I encourage you to read that sort of thing because it's refreshing. And if you've read it, lend it to someone who hasn't got it yet. That's in the book. But there's another author who loves simplicity, Richard Foster. And in his book, he says, true simplicity is an inward reality manifest in an outward lifestyle. You know, a real simplicity, it's not the way our house looks. It's not, you know, the number of outfits we have or don't have. It's something that's going on inside, deep inside, that then kind of reaches out and touches every part of our life. It's not a method. It's not a program. It's not another thing you have to learn how to do. It's actually evidence. It's evidence of a life that's being led by the Holy Spirit. It's evidence of a life that is fixed and is focused on what matters most. And most of all, simplicity, this life of simplicity, is actually a gift. There's this beautiful song that you probably know. You may know different words to the same music, but this is the original. 'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn will be our delight. Till by turning, we come round right. You know, this is an old song, and after the service, I really encourage you to go and sit and listen to it. But actually, listen to this particular recording. It's from Yo-Yo Ma, and it's called Simple Gifts. He's a cellist, and there's just a simple vocal with it. It actually kind of embodies what the song is about in its recording, so get that one. This thing, simplicity, like when I read those words, when I hear those words, it just, my whole body just goes, like, it just kind of relaxes. It's just like, I want that. That just sounds so good to me. A gift that brings freedom and delight. Do you long for that too? Is that something you like the sound of, that you'd love to just go, yes, I want that in my world? Do you long to be in a place where you are actually flexible, where you can bow and you can bend, like imagining something just kind of moving and bowing and bending to the wind and what's going on around it? That you can adapt and be generous and flexible to, you know, what's happening around you, that you're not so strung up that it's just you snap if something goes wrong. Where that very act of living is delightful. Like, doesn't that sound good? To actually delight in living. Does anyone else want that? I don't know, maybe I'm just the only one. I would really like to delight in just living. That gift, it's available right now. It's a gift. It's not a program, not a method. It's a gift. And it's our choice to take it up. It's our choice to learn from the person who lived it best. To follow in his footsteps, Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 40, Jesus goes to visit two friends, Mary and Martha. And Martha was a wonderful host. You probably know the story. It's one of those ones that, you know, gets pulled out when we want to make a point about something. She was welcoming and she did everything that was expected of her. She did it all. It was all there. And Mary, she was taken up in the wonder and beauty of the moment, the two contrasting sisters. But the wonder and the beauty of the moment was Jesus. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. That's what it says in Luke 10:39. So just picture that, you know, Martha doing everything that she has to and Mary just sitting at the Lord's feet. And Martha was a wonderful servant, and we praise wonderful servants. And Mary was being spiritual. And that's good too. Both are good. So our Martha side of us, it gets quite offended when Jesus refuses to rebuke Mary. Like we kind of rail up and we go, but she was doing what she was supposed to be doing. But in our offense, we miss the point of that. Because it's not about hospitality and servanthood. That passage is just not about that. Jesus is addressing the root of our lives. He's sweeping aside everything else and saying, what are we caught up in? What's our focus? What's our center? What is it that grounds us and roots us? And Jesus says, it's me. Everyone, it's me, Jesus. Luke 10:42. Jesus says, there is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. There's only one thing, and Mary's discovered it. Like, that's the only thing that matters. Like, I'm sure there's a time to get stuff ready and all of that. We can go over all the mechanics of it. But when it comes down to it, what matters and where should we be? That's the key to simplicity. Focus on the one thing that really matters. Focus on Jesus. Because from that center, we actually then know. We know where to go. We know when to come. We know when to stop, when to go. When to say yes, when to say no. Like from that center of Jesus, everything else lays out and makes sense and has its place in the world. And as we, you know, sang this morning about the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit will point us back to Jesus. And that Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in John 16 will guide us. Will show us. Okay, so I get the stuff home from school. Which ones do I say yes to? You know, I know that sounds kind of silly. Does Jesus really care about those things? Yes, he does. He really does. Because the end game matters. How it all plays out matters. You know, Jesus actually loved to strip things back himself. And, you know, we look back and we go, he was often challenged by different things. You know, people would come to him and the complications of life, basically they were coming to him with. They're going, okay, so what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? That's often what they were challenging him with. They were often around their laws, yes, but their laws had complicated life. We complicate life. And so when he was asked, okay, so what's the most important commandment, Jesus, in Matthew 22? Because they had so many. Jesus said, love God and love neighbours. That's it. Simple. That's all you have to do. Forget the rest. No, the rest come under that. The rest happen because you do that. The rest are natural when you love God and you love others. It all makes sense. Everything hangs on those. What about the time when they're kind of going, okay, this prayer thing, how do we do it? Like we see people praying these long prayers and they stand on the corners and they're just going all out and it sounds all amazing and, you know, they sound so spiritual. But what does Jesus say? Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door. And pray to your Father in private. He says, don't babble on. I like that. Don't babble on. Forgive others. And that's where he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. It's just simple. Clean. And then, you know, when they're worried, they're concerned, Jesus is watching these people with him. You know, on the Sermon on the Mount, they're just surrounded by people. And they're not just the rich people, they're not just the poor people. They're everyone from every walk of life. But he says the same thing to all of them. He says, you know all those worries you have? The worries you have about food, the worries you have about provision, clothing, the things that go in your head. Matthew 6, he says, don't. Just don't worry about it. It's like, I wonder if that's out there going, but you have no idea. He does. He has an idea. And he was speaking to everyone there. Absolutely everyone. He said, God's got it sorted. Look around you, look at our world. And we might think, yes, but our world's falling apart. Really? It's still going. He's got it sorted. Don't worry about it. It's sorted. He's looking after it. He says, seek first his kingdom in Matthew 6:33. And his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. All the things we need, all the things that we worry about. When we look to God, they'll all kind of just slot into place. It's not a long list of do's and don'ts, you know, do this and this will happen and don't do that and blah, blah, blah. That's Jesus is kind of sweeping that all away. And he's saying, just focus on him. Let him teach. Let his gift of simplicity, this way of doing life, bring clarity and freedom to your life. This gift of simplicity, it stops us from chasing after the wind, you know, that Ecclesiastes talks about. It says, you know, don't chase after the wind. It stops us from doing that. It stops us from chasing after things that are just unattainable. And it brings us back to where we ought to be. That's the gold that we find in the Bible. That's the gold that we find in Jesus. It's Jesus showing us how to do life and learning from him. And, you know, like I love reading other books. But if we're not reading about him, if we're not reading our Bible and learning from him first and foremost, the rest of it is just a waste of time. Learn from him. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I think we all find the Message version the most favourite, so I'll read that one. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How beautiful is that? Notice that real rest means walking and working with him. Like, that's real rest. It's walking and working with Jesus. And he says that he won't lay anything ill-fitting or heavy on us. All that ill-fitting and heavy stuff, that's ours. They're the bits we've chosen. He won't lay that on us. He'll find the stuff that fits us right. You know, we get scared. We think that the stuff that Jesus would choose for us will be hard and awkward, and we don't like the idea of it. It's the other way around. The stuff he chooses for us fits well, works well. And that's the life of simplicity, a balance of life and work, trust and submission, choice and responsibility, kind of all just working together, walking with Jesus and learning from him. And that's all I've got for today. I just wanted to keep it simple. That's the life of simplicity for today. Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.